Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney. What's happening? CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. Week six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gone. Six tonight, Eagles and the Giants. Giants are plus one. They don't care about spreads. They care about a win. We'll do that in depth coming up in an hour. Top of the next hour, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Twitter, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, at Tiki and Tierney. A lot of ways to hit the show, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. So, you know, Tiki, organizationally, the biggest challenge for any football team is obviously identifying, you know, which quarterback to draft when you obviously need one. But I think the other problem, and sometimes sentiment can invade and maybe blur your sensibilities. Maybe it's financially motivated.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit of both. The other part about the quarterback that makes it tricky is when you have a guy, you know he's good, but you don't know that he's quite the asset that he once was. And I ask that, or I should say, I position that to ask this question, as you and I can roll through this, certainly give you first crack at this. When we look around the NFL, let's go through a couple of teams here, a couple of quarterback situations that seem somewhat stable or somewhat optimistic before the season, and now they're very much up in the air.
Yeah, one was, it's interesting because I was just trying to rack my brain thinking of were there any teams that got a free agent quarterback? I mean, the Raiders, but that was old school. That was a while ago when they went to the Super Bowl with Rich Gannon, and he kind of was a journeyman-ish type player.
He won the MVP in 2002.
Wins the MVP and becomes, like, the guy.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see that happen.
It happened for a minute with Testaverde and the Jets.
Yeah, but again.
But it's very rare.
Again, old school. My era, even old before school. Me, in a sense.
Yep.
Currently, there isn't really that situation. So my point is you have to find your guy in the draft. You have to identify him. You have to have the right processes and people, coaches, mentors, et cetera, in place to develop that player and then hope that he turns into the star that you drafted.
Makes sense.
That's generally what's happening nowadays. You see it with a bunch of different players, Pat Mahomes being the one that jumps to the forefront of everybody's minds because he's been amazing in his first five games. Now, there's a couple. The ones that I'm going to point out don't fit that mold, and that's why I'm pointing them out.
Okay.
All right. The first one is Case Keenum out in Denver. Now we know what happened last year. Case was a star out in Minnesota. He was in Pat Shurmur's system. It was highly dedicated to completion percentage. Get the ball out of your hands quickly. We're going to design these plays so that you can make easy throws to our good wide receivers and tight ends. Your running backs are going to help you out of the backfield. Before Dalvin Cook, Dalvin Cook was there, and then obviously he got hurt, and Jarrett McKinnon was that player. It was ideal for him, and it put him on a stage, maybe a platform is a better description, that was probably too high for him. He becomes a free agent. He does not re-sign. That system changes, and he goes to Denver. Now, Denver probably thought they were getting the guy that they had in Minnesota and thought, hey, we got a great defense. All we just need is a guy not to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
What's Case Keenum doing?
He's messing it up.
So I feel like they thought that they had a guy that could win for them in the short term. Yeah, we wanted to get a kid in the draft, but you know what? Bradley Chubb fell to us. Dude, we got to take him. Let's not worry about one of those quarterbacks that's still sitting there. Let's take this defensive stud, and Case Keenum will be our bridge for a year or two. He's just not.
Yeah, he's not.
So I think they had that mentality of getting a veteran guy, which we just described, doesn't work anymore in the National Football League.
Kirk Cousins, though.
Kirk Cousins might be the one example.
Oh, he's definitely.
Definitely the one definitely exception. The one exception. He is the one. He definitely.
And let's see what Alex Smith does the next month or so with the Redskins. I hear you.
Yeah.
But, you know, Alex has had a good.
But
good
I think Alex is
going to
be Alex.
Where,
I think Alex is going to be Alex.
But he hasn't been Alex yet for the Redskins. And if he is Alex,
I agree.
Then that's good enough.
And if he is, but how long has that lasted?
Well,
you know what I mean? Two years?
Yeah, I mean Alex is a Band-Aid than
he's not young.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean? So it's not the long-term solution.
Yep.
Case is not the long-term solution.
Can I tell you real quick on Case?
Yeah.
I'm watching the Jets and the Broncos, and this is going to sound so mean.
Dude, I made this determination, by the way, because I was watching that game, and I watched a lot of it, and I was like, what in the hell is going on?
I hear you. And I was watching that game, because there was a rumbling like, well, before the Jets got Bridgewater, they didn't know who they were going to draft. Are the Jets going to make a play for Case Keenum? I'm sitting there watching the game Sunday. I'm saying, thank God this guy's not my quarterback.
Yeah.
And for me to say that as a Jets fan, I've never had any quarterbacks.
He's missing a lot.
He's just, you go back to the game against Kansas City, he had Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He was open by 6 yards.
I know.
And he missed him by 5.5.
You're right.
It's 11-yard radius of miss.
It's hard. That's hard to do.
Yeah, he's not very good.
Now, the other one is Dak Prescott.
Dak!
Yeah. I think, now again, not the situation that, you didn't scout him and draft him and say, this is going to be our guy. You try to take him late.
Well, they didn't take him that late.
I know.
Like they took him in the 6th round.
True, but you take him late. He's not a first rounder or a second rounder.
No. He's fourth, right? Was that
he was fourth. Yeah, it's usually those guys that are taking one or two that you say, a 4th round draft pick is a guy that you have a lot of faith in because he showed some talent in college, but you know it's going to take a long time to develop him, right? He's not looking to play right away. They had Tony Romo. Tony was going to be there for the next at least 2 or 3 years. Tony Romo gets hurt and falls into this, I don't know, this spiral of injury because it had happened a couple years before. It's just like Tony felt like he was damaged goods.
It's time to hang it up.
Yeah, it was just time to hang it up. Yep. And he had an unbelievable offer from CBS, and we're happy that he decided to leave the booth. And that 1 year, Ezekiel Elliott goes crazy, leads the league in rushing, and Dak doesn't have to throw the ball that much. He's not relied upon to be the guy. And then we see what happens the following year. Zeke gets suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle it, Dak? Yeah, not really.
No real true number one, so he couldn't elevate others to, necessarily put points up.
Comes into year three.
Without Zeke.
Zeke is back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we should see some lift here.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? The only time they play really well is when Zeke gets 200 all-purpose yards.
Mm-hmm.
So and Gary Meyer said this yesterday. We had him on promoting his new book, How About Them Cowboys, which is a really good book. I keep getting deeper into it. There's a lot of great stories about the business side of Jerry Jones and why he does some of the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's no mistake why that's a $5 billion business. But he said, you know what? They don't have to sign him. He's not on a fifth-year option because he's not a first-round draft pick. I bet he doesn't get a contract offer until it's last minute, if at all. I think they're ready to explore another option.
Okay.
For Dak.
Okay. So if you're just tuning in here, the premise is coming into the season, teams that thought they had somewhat stable quarterback situations now may be forced to reevaluate and possibly recalibrate the direction in which they're going to go with the position. So 1-855-212-4227. We'd love to hear some of yours. Tiki just gave us Case Keenum and Dak. Two really good ones. Totally agree. I thought about, do I throw Bortles on there? Low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. But again, think about the way we position the premise here. I don't think that the Jaguars felt overly comfortable with Blake Bortles.
No.
So I'm not going to use Blake because that would contradict the premise.
People will look at his contract but not realize that his contract was just kind of, it's an extension, but not really.
Somewhat symbolic and somewhat hollow.
Yes.
There's not a lot there. I mean, relatively.
There is.
But,
I'll take 16, please.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so I've got two for you. And, it's amazing. I said before this year, and boy, we've had a lot of conversations about Eli on the show, and this is not about the Hall of Fame. This is not about necessarily the career narrative of Eli. It's not about that at all, matter of fact. But as much as I've been down on Eli with a lot of his play, and I do feel that his place in the game has been embellished by many, I did say before the season I thought Eli was going to have his best statistical season. I did say that. I said I looked at the weaponry. I looked at Shermer's deployment. a little bit of a, you know, certainly on the left side, the kid they drafted second round, the guard. I'm like, this offensive line will be better.
Yeah, Hernandez.
Hernandez. I said, okay, now, if I didn't see the Giants record, and I just looked at a few of the stats, and I looked right now, and I looked at, and I said, all right, he's on pace for 4,500 yards. Granted, it's not 5,000, which probably six guys will get, but still pretty damn good. And you know you're going to run with Barkley, so it seems like they have good balance with 45, which is where he's projected. And he's projected to hit 72% of his throws? I'd be out here puffing my chest saying I was right. This is Eli's best statistical season. Until you look at the numbers that really matter in the modern NFL. Basically 7 yards a pass, just about, and he's on pace for 19 touchdowns, which is nothing. Mm. It doesn't match up with the weapons that they have. And they finally touched 30 points the other day. Maybe they actually do it again tonight. Maybe they actually get going a little bit. Who knows? But the Giants were in a tough spot. They disrespected a franchise legend last year, that nonsense when they benched him for dopey Geno Smith.
Yeah.
They wanted to rectify that. I think they were overly aggressive in trying to rectify that from a PR point of view. Sentimentality blurred a few things. Giants got to move on from Eli pretty soon. And I think deep down, the Giants know that. And I really think for the first time, Giants fans are starting to realize that as well. I'm going to let it play out. I'm not here to bag on Eli, but if you watch him play, it's hard to disagree with that football assertion. I like Eli, but he's not very good right now. Derek Carr is the other problem here. Mm. Derek Carr for the Raiders is, unlike Eli, who's got the two championships and, you know, obviously some incredibly, you know, poignant moments, he was never like almost an MVP. Like, yeah. Eli was always several layers below the Bradys, the Rodgers, you know the names, the Mannings, his brother. You looked at Derek Carr a couple of years ago, you said, this guy's going to win the MVP.
Right.
And if he doesn't win it this year, hell, they'll win it next year. He'll win it the year after. The Raiders got their guy. Second round pick. Now, not only when you watch him play, you sense that something's missing, but now you look at the direction of their head coach. And this, not a rift, I don't want to position it as a rift, but a less than certain belief or conviction from the part of Gruden that Derek Carr is his guy moving forward.
Yeah, it feels like John Gruden is evaluating everybody, including his quarterback.
Oh,
he has
to.
The one person that you would think was untouchable would be Derek Carr. The potential out in his contract is next year because his cap number falls significantly. It's $32.5 million this year. Next year, it's $7.5 million. So there's a decision that's going to have to be made about Derek Carr, whether or not he's going to continue to be your franchise quarterback, or if he's falling into what John Gruden, who has a 10-year contract, wants to do with this offense. That's an interesting one.
I wouldn't
have thought that one off the top of my head, but that is an interesting one.
I don't feel like they're going to intersect. You know, when Gruden really gets this thing going, I don't say that with complete conviction because I think Derek's talented.
Yeah.
But based on the money that you just outlined, and here's the other thing. You could always talk about, and his brother was a poor victim of this, and you know, right now poor Josh Allen's on pace to get sacked 80 times, but he seems like he's coming out of it with a couple of wins and he's resilient. In the modern NFL, you should never have 7 touchdowns and 8 picks, even as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's at right now. He's been around a couple. It was year number 4 or 3. I think it's year 4. I think it's year 4.
He's 27, drafted in 2014, so this is year 5.
Year 5?
Yeah.
No.
14, 15, 16, 17. This is year 5.
Year 5?
Yeah.
Oof, that's even worse. how does a fifth-year quarterback have 7 touchdowns and 8 picks? That's not good.
And last year wasn't great either.
Though. I know. So those are my two. Teeks got his two. Teeks, say your two again, so just in case somebody
Case
tuned
Keenum,
in.
Case Keenum, which is, I mean, it's an obvious one. You just watch them play. They should be better than they are right now. And Dak Prescott, there's some questions about whether or not he's going to be the guy down there.
Good calls. Good calls, man. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, how about Danny Werfel? We know Danny. We've had Danny on a bunch. Great college player. Great college winner. Great college stats. We'll talk some. You know what? We'll just talk quarterback position. Played in the NFL as well. Certainly wasn't a star in the NFL. Bounced around a little bit, Danny. Had a few moments, but he can really, and he's really the perfect guy to talk about, you know, the up and down nature of the position, because it just wasn't a smooth ride for him out of college.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Danny. It's all quarterbacks. We'll do that coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Oh, no diggity. Old school. No diggity. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network simulcast across the country. Series XM 206 at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Get us up. Might hit you back. A little baseball later. Brad Lidge, former closer, MLB Network, will do the blast as well. Giants, Eagles, top of the hour, full preview on that. Some dissension with the Cowboys. At least Alvin Hearns not thrilled about the direction of the play calling. We'll get to that as well.
Because he's not any balls.
Nobody really is.
That is true. It's good point.
It's just a whole weird dynamic down there in Dallas. But, Teak, let's talk quarterbacks. Continue the conversation. We started before. A college legend, just a great winner. The stats there, obviously. Played in the NFL as well. And he's been with us, though. It's been a little while. Danny Werfel is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Danny, how you been, buddy? Welcome back to the show.
It's great. Great to be back with you. You guys have been going at it for a while. Congratulations. You guys had a lot of success, and I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we moved around a little bit. Started way early in the morning. Now we're back in a reasonable slot in the afternoon. But, Danny, you're Gators, man. Off the 5-1 start this year, big win last weekend. This is Dan Mullen's first year down there. I don't know how much around the program you are, but it feels like Florida football is coming back to what it used to be.
Man, it sure does feel that way. I mean, I think we've exceeded expectations this year, and I don't know how good our team is right now, but I tell you what, the program is in really good hands, and I think we're headed in a good direction and super pleased with Dan Mullen and what he's doing, and a lot of good excitement to come,
Was there anything, because you know, when you say the program's in good hands, I don't think anybody would disagree. It's pretty obvious, even to the untrained eye, that they're trending back in the right direction. But without throwing people under the bus, like, what was the problem? What was missing? Why did Florida, in essence, stop being Florida for a couple of years?
Now, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's easy to take for granted how hard it is to be at that top level, you know, and when you're used to it, you kind of take it for granted. And when you have a Spurrier and an Urban Meyer and you're winning national championships, it's hard. And I think, you know, there's some good coaches that have come through there. I really think Will Muschamp's a great coach. And but I do think there is something special about Mullen, like not just the way that we've won games, but watching the way he's handling himself. I was there this weekend, LSU, pregame, everybody's going crazy, and he walks by, and it was like it was April, and we ran into each other at lunch. I mean, he was so cool, so collected, and you know, the way they handled the loss against Kentucky, and even when they won big against Tennessee, you know, some of that was turnovers and some lucky plays, and he's focused on the effort and the execution, and yeah, I think he's just special. I think that's a big part of what you need to be at that level.
All right, there you go. Danny Werfel is with us, SEC legend, college football legend, talking quarterbacks and a little bit of everything with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Danny, you talked about how tough it is in college for, I think, head coaches to adjust to whatever the new offense is, recruiting, et cetera. The competition for recruits is tough. But one of the other tough things that you experienced, actually, from being drafted to New Orleans and going down there. We'll talk about the Desire Street Ministries in a second. But the transition from college quarterback to NFL quarterback, it feels like it used to be really hard. Now it seems like it's getting a little bit easier because of the offenses that are now being run in the NFL, right? You see what Baker Mayfield is doing, or you see Lamar Jackson coming in and serving a role. You see what Pat Mahomes is able to do, and Andy Reid's offense out there. Carson Wentz, etc. You think that's become easier from when you came into the league? You know, what was it, 15, 20 years ago, almost now?
Yeah. Well, of course, I'd love to say that. I'd love to say it's a lot easier now since they're doing well. but I don't know. I mean, I think in some ways there's some more creativity at offense. Seems like there's more flexibility, and they're looking, you know, there's a much more opportunities for quarterbacks to be moving around and doing things more so than back then. So I think it's just lent itself to have some really success. I also think, to be honest, I think that the training that's happening for quarterbacks as young as high school these days is really good. I think there's a lot of good development of young guys with all these different camps and Elite 11 and Peyton Manning's Academy. So I think you're getting guys that are going to college far ahead of where maybe they were in the past, and then developing just kind of more evolved in their development as a quarterback by the time they get there, perhaps.
And they just, the heartbeats are a little slower.
Yeah, good point.
They don't just run out of the pocket. They'll let things develop an extra second, give a guy a chance to get open downfield. Of course, not everybody, but it seems like they're a little bit more prepared. And I'm curious, Danny, I know I've never asked you this, but I'd love to hear your answer because it varies from so many great quarterbacks of the past, whether it's arm talent or instinct or intellect. If I said, all right, Danny, what are the two non-negotiable quarterback characteristics that you absolutely must have to win and perform at a high level on Sundays? What would you say that those two are?
Well, I think it's overemphasized because it's just so much true. But you've got to be able to be one of the elite passers in the world. Like you can't just be a really, really good passer. You've got to have an exceptional ability to throw the football, and that's simple. I think the ability to process information quickly would be what I would say is number two. There's a lot of people that are smart and given a lot of, a complicated question could eventually get to the answer, but where you're talking about having to do it in a split second, and that's a real difficult, how fast you process. And because we're on live radio and you can't hold me to two, I'm going to give you a third one.
Nice. Go for it, man. Go.
When you're standing somewhere and someone runs like they're going to hit you, everything about your body says, either kind of protect yourself or get out of the way. And there's very few things where you have to train yourself to sit there and ignore that and focus on something else. And I think that it's really hard to develop that skill, that talent, whatever it is. And maybe some of us are just missing some wires that we should have. Maybe it's a deficiency in some of us that works out being an advantage. I think that's something you've got to develop, and it's really, really hard.
That's good stuff.
That is
I think
smart, though. You're
that.
Right, man. It's like,
so you tell us you're a little nuts is what you're saying, Danny.
Trust me, I do think that.
Danny Werfel, Heisman Trophy winner, two-time SEC Player of the Year. One of the greats, no doubt.
First ever national championship, too, at University of Florida, which is obviously something to hang your hat on for forever, really. Desire Street Ministries, this is your eighth annual Desire Cup, uniting the Gators and the Bulldogs. You raised $300,000 last year. Tell us about this and tell us why this has become so important to you. Last time we had you on, I think we were talking about this as well.
Yeah, well, ever since I got drafted by the Saints, I've been working with an organization called Desire Street, and we work in under-resourced neighborhoods, and now we're all over the Southeast and growing, and just seeing, lives transformed from kids and families, but even beyond that, seeing neighborhoods, the landscape change, and more access to education, and help started some schools, and medical clinics, and churches, and just seeing a lot of systemic neighborhood transformation, which is outstanding. And this Desire Cup is really our main kind of public event to try to raise money for certain projects for what we're trying to do. And, we capture the excitement of the Florida-Georgia game, and we have Florida fans and celebrities and Georgia fans there playing at a great golf course. So the Desire Cup by Pilgrims is sort of our main event. But we've got a real unique opportunity this year where we're hoping folks even that can't come would recognize we're trying to move into six new neighborhoods, and we need your help. And we've got a special way to be a part of that, what we call the 19th hole. Golf has 18 holes, so the 19th hole is a fun drive to help us raise the money to grow into new neighborhoods. So if folks listening could check out our website, desirestreet.org, and click on that and look in the 19th hole, we could really use your help and get some more great stuff done.
We're going to tweet this out for you. That is tremendous. Desirestreet.org. And I know all of our audience really enjoys going a little, the past, a great name from the past, but you're doing great things.
Yeah.
More importantly,
now, it's interesting, Danny, because this started as something simple for you, right? It was a Bible study that you had, sharing a word with like-minded individuals, and it grew. How did it originally catalyze into what it's become? Because it's hard to take these little, I don't want to say a pet project, but that's what I'll use. It's these pet, interest things and grow it into something as meaningful is what this Desire Street Ministry and now this event that you guys are having, this Desire Cup. How did you grow it into this?
Well, thank you. I tell you, one of the benefits of being a quarterback is you end up getting a lot more credit when you win. And I think that applies here. Actually, I didn't start it. It was started before I got to New Orleans. And our founder had a phenomenal vision and insight to what he wanted to see happen. And I just came alongside to be helpful. And then after Katrina, I took the reins as the leader, and we've been growing. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of people that have come together to make this happen. It's really, to me, a miracle where we are and what's going on. But it's just people listening, hearing, getting involved at different levels, whether it's supporting us financially or different people volunteer, got involved. We've had people quit their jobs and join our staff. I mean, it's just unbelievable the momentum and the things that are happening.
DesireStreet.org. Danny, always a pleasure catching up. Thanks a lot, and best of luck with the event.
All right, guys. Thanks. Always good talking to you, too. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you, Danny.
There you go. Danny Werfel here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Cowboys got some issues, maybe even more than we thought. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that coming up. Darwin Zook's update first. Here he is.
Looking for a podcast? Check out mine. Tiki's Barbershop, presented by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, sounds good, Teague. 40 minutes past the hour. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. On a Thursday, we've got top of the hour, full throttle, Giants and the Eagles tonight. Big one in the NFC East. Giants have to win.
The season's over if they don't win.
Eagles, obviously, with one more victory, a little more wiggle room. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a little different. While both cities are very reactionary to poor performances, Eagles fans are a little pacified off the championship.
Yeah, of course.
I would imagine, at least for another minute or so.
Yeah, and if they win tonight,
then that goes away.
They'll be 3-3, and they'll be atop the division.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And if the Giants win tonight, interestingly, at least for 2 days, they'll be the top of the division.
That is crazy.
It's insane.
And we'll get to that coming up here, Teak. So I want to read you something. Dallas, there's always a little drama with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones and, you know, we had Gary in studio. Gary Myers, his book yesterday. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Look at the Dallas Cowboys and all the stuff behind the scenes. Here's one thing statistically you can't ignore. Dallas right now is 30th in the NFL in passing yards per game. 172.
That's bad.
That is horrific. And 16.6 points per game. That's terrible as well. Ahead of only the Cardinals and Bills, both teams that have rookie quarterbacks here. So, I mean, we could spit as many stats out as you want. Is this correctable? And then we actually incorporate Allen Hurns and his, you know, issues with the way the offense is run. It just seems...
Yeah.
It just seems messy.
Is it correctable? So the question is complicated because this offense can do some explosive things, as we saw 2 weeks ago, talking about the Cowboys, when Zeke is utilized properly, right? When they find ways to get him in space, whether that's running the ball to the edges or tossing it to him out of the backfield. He had 200-plus all-purpose yards, and they look like a Dallas Cowboys team that is viable in the East. Maybe not in the league for a championship,
no,
or whatever, but they're viable to win the East and go to the postseason, which is your primary goal going into every season. Just get to the postseason. However, what we're finding is that teams are good at saying, all right, we're going to put this extra guy in the box. It's simple. Football's simple, dude. It's not like it's complicated, right? You guys are going to run the ball a lot. You're going to focus on getting the ball to Zeke Elliott. Guess what? We're going to put an extra guy down there to prevent you from doing that. And the counter to that, again, not complicated, is get a quarterback who can throw it on target downfield to make them back up. And they just haven't – they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Dak's not that player who can, you know, drop back 35 times and put it directly on target 30 of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Give his guys a chance to make – receptions, but also big plays off of those receptions, whether it's crossing routes or deep ends, digs, comebacks, whatever it may be. He doesn't do it consistently enough. And I was talking to, again, I was talking to Rondé about quarterbacks, and I was like, you know who I want as a quarterback, Rondé? I want that Pascal All-American. I want that guy who gets 100 out of 100 in Pascal, meaning no offensive line, and it's just wide receivers and DBs,
right?
I want my guy hitting 100%. And if you're not that guy, it's really hard to be exceptional in the National Football League because it gets easier with more people out there, but yep. It also gets harder because there's so much more chaos.
Sure.
And so when we did this segment at the top of the hour, BT, about teams that maybe don't have their quarterback, when I look at Dak, that's why I say that, because I don't think he's that Pascal All-American. You know what I mean? I don't think he's that guy.
How many Pascal All-Americans are in the NFL?
Baker Mayfield
right now?
Is one.
There's no doubt. He
says, I got to get it to that guy that's 15 yards going over there, going the other way. I'm letting this thing go, and it's hitting him in the chest.
Do you see that from Rosen as a rookie real quick?
No.
Do you see that from Sam Darnold?
Yes.
So do I.
Yes.
Do you see that from Josh Allen?
No. Josh Allen wants to tuck it and run more than he wants to throw the ball. Whereas Baker Mayfield gets in trouble. He's like, oh, ooh.
Yeah. Bing! Well, that's how we got that third down conversion.
Exactly.
To move the sticks and get in position to hit that little Phil Negro knuckleball for the win.
Exactly.
That was a great play. He just shifted the pocket.
It was unbelievable. Boom. And so when I see that and I see that execution and and it's not like, oh, he just ran the play perfectly and, you know, he executed exactly how. No, football's not that. It's too much chaos in football. Stuff happens and it gets broken down and you're like, I have to make a play. You hear it all the time. It's a cliche. Go make a play. That's making a play, right? But when you sail a guy like Dak does or like Josh Rosen has been doing, or sometimes Josh Rosen is throwing into voids where there is nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the DBs aren't making plays on the ball where Josh Rosen is throwing these sometimes. It's a little bit disappointing, but that's another story.
Because he was hailed as the best pure passer coming in.
I'm not seeing it right now.
Interesting.
But Dak also has that issue. And and that's why when you start to evaluate, well, what's wrong with the Cowboys? I mean, it is partly the play calling, like Alan Hearns is alluding to, but it's also execution, going to make a play. It's not happening frequently enough.
I remember because they played Carolina in week one, and we're watching the game, and he missed his targets by feet.
Yeah.
Not by inches.
Yeah.
By feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's terrible today. He's alarmingly bad. When you're fifth in rushing yards, as the Dallas Cowboys are,
which is crazy, you should
never be 30th.
It's exactly.
I mean, come on, man. I can see if you have a complete absence of running game and your passing game is 18th, you could be like, well, get a little help here. That 18 becomes 12 and it's more functional and we've got that balance we're seeking. This disparity between their pass success versus their run success is...
It doesn't make sense.
It sounds fatal, actually, and it looks fatal.
Yes.
To their success.
You're right.
So let me ask you this. With the weaponry, because they just don't have... Listen, Alan Hearns can say whatever he wants. Nobody in the NFL is scared of Alan Hearns.
No.
Not a single D coordinator, not a safety up top, not a nickel slot, not a straight-up corner. Nobody's afraid of him.
Yeah.
So with an increase in talent, can Dak become what Dallas fans want him to become?
Well, think about his first year, BT, and what was he doing? He was hitting Jason Witten. He was hitting Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Now, that faded as Dez kind of, I don't know, devolved. But, yeah, early when he had some weapons that were scary to defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jason Witten's not blowing you away. You know, he's not Al Kelso, Travis Kelce, not Kelso, I'm thinking of the Bills. He's not Travis Kelce for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's running down the middle of the field.
Not a whole lot of wiggles. Going 60 yards,
but Jason Witten was going to get you 12 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to catch the rock.
He's going to catch it.
And he's going to get you a first down, which is moving the drives, moving the chains, getting you another shot at scoring, right? So he didn't scare you, but you had to account for him. They don't have that right now. So as much as we can blame Dak and the play calling, there's also not the personnel there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on ownership because that's GM. Jerry Jones is owner as well.
Mm-hmm.
They probably made the right move getting rid of Dez.
I agree.
But you got to do something else.
Why didn't they really make a move for Josh Gordon?
That's surprising.
Like an aggressive move.
Because if there was an organization that's taken risk on guys, it's been Dallas. You know,
and there's no guarantee it would have worked out, and there's no guarantee it works out where he is now.
No,
I mean, although it looks like it probably will.
But I was surprised that they didn't take a shot at him.
Would you pick up the phone and call Dez? As crazy as this sounds, I can't even believe I'm asking this question. Would you call Dez and see where he's at
physically? What kind of shape is Dez in right now?
That's the problem. You bring him in for a workout. The whole world knows about it.
You're right.
You look dysfunctional and desperate.
You're right.
If you could do this on the down low, like in the 80s, just go to a high school field and nobody film it.
Yeah.
Let's see where he at. Yeah. Come inside the team bubble. Run some shuttles. Where he at? Okay.
You know what's better for what would be better for them? BT is a trade. Find some good wide, not a great one, because you know what? No team is going to get rid of a great one, but a good wide receiver that's just kind of misfit where he is, and trade for him. You know, and so do it that way, because it doesn't feel as desperate. It feels opportunistic that way, as opposed to, man, we're desperate. We got to bring back Dez Bryant.
They're fooling themselves. You know, they're just not very good. And their defense is strong, even though Sean Lee's banged up again.
Yeah.
Marcus Lawrence
is unbelievable.
He's great. He's great. And the kid they took from Boise State's a good athlete.
Yeah.
That kid can move a little bit. They've got some defensive pieces. I mean, they're statistically great on defense, and I don't think that's really a mirage. I think their defense is highly functional and gets a lot of stops. You said something, I think it was last week, maybe even 2 weeks ago, and you know, I remember raising my eyebrows, but I don't think I even really circled back to it. Maybe off the air I did. You know, you said that Dak's not quite the athlete that people think he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the height of lazy analysis, but a lot of times you see a black quarterback,
yeah,
and you just think, well, let's get him out of the pocket and move a little bit.
Right.
He can run.
You're right.
Describe, not so much black or white, but just like on the scale of NFL athleticism, at the quarterback position, 1 to 10, where is he right now? Is he a 7? Is he a 6? Is he an 8?
I'd probably say he's 6. A little bit above average, because think about what we're talking about. Moving out of the pocket. So athleticism as a quarterback is, can you move out of the pocket? Can we roll out to you? Either way. Your throw side or off side, right? Can we do that with you and throw the, and can you make accurate throws down the field?
And do you think he can?
I don't.
Yeah, I know.
I don't.
He can move, but the throws aren't accurate.
You're right. So Russell Wilson is the perfect example. Russell Wilson excels at doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he had to adjust to being a smaller quarterback
his
entire life. I got to run. I got to find my
he's
lane.
Unbelievable
my,
at that.
But he gets on the run. Yeah. The ball, whether it's a deep ball with that high arc, it just takes off and just drops right where it needs to be. Every single, it's unbelievable how he throws the deep ball,
that's
Russell
special.
Wilson. And a lot of it's on the run. Same thing when, you know, throwing not cross his body, but, you know, through his body. He gets his hips squared. He gets his shoulders, you know, towards the target. Dak's not great at that. You know, and I think a lot of that is because, you know, he believes in his athleticism and forgets the fundamentals. Right, it's at the end of the day, fundamentals will trump athleticism every single time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you think I can keep my shoulders facing towards BT and throw the ball to the camera over here, it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to end up over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just fundamentals. If you get your shoulders turned, then the ball's going to go where you want it to go.
Yeah.
And
the few who match the skill with the fundamentals,
yes,
that's how you get Aaron Rodgers,
exactly,
Patrick Mahomes,
exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, so he's certainly not elite. I'm trying to think. I want to be fair to Dak.
Yep. He's not bad though.
Is he an average pocket passer? Now I'm switching now to the pocket.
Yeah, of course.
So is he slightly above average or?
Of course. As long as he's on rhythm.
Okay.
He's workable.
So he's a solid pocket passer and he's a slightly above average athlete.
Yes.
Then that you should be able to use that to your advantage with that defense and with that running game.
No doubt.
So, you know, listen, they're just scheming wrong. They don't have anything on the outside.
They're not putting in positions to be successful. And so we see it every single week. It's like, man, what happened there? Well, that's not ideal for them, right? And so they end up losing and they end up getting questioned internally by guys on their team like Allen Hurns, by even Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry Jones was questioning Jason Garrett's decision making to punt the ball and not and take that risk.
Jerry Jones is a loss. Jerry Jones thinks the Cowboys have as much talent as the Rams.
No,
I'm
they don't.
Tired from hearing
and
from
again,
Jerry Jones. Every time he says something,
but
it's
lunacy. But I'll go back to what I said earlier, BT, in the segment. The ownership failed them, meaning GM ownership failed them. They don't have the talent to be mediocre at places and then still expect to win.
I don't think it's a reckless statement to say they might wind up being 5-11 or 6-10 anyway. But if they were in a good division, like the Giants are, Eagles aren't playing well now, Redskins, who knows? If they were in a really strong division, they might be a 4-12 team.
You're right.
Like they really might be.
You're right.
Like there's really not a lot to get excited about. You don't know if you have your quarterback or your future. You probably don't have the head coach of the future. You're still going to have this ridiculous dynamic with Jerry in terms of being the puppeteer. It's a the O-line's getting a little bit older. It's just a strange. It's not a winning recipe.
You're right.
Not good. All right, T. Coming up next here, Tiki's Giants. You feeling positive? Well, make sure you said yesterday you were. How are you feeling today?
I am.
Really?
You know why?
Save it.
All right.
Tell me why. Coming up next. Giants and Eagles next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.